mean it anyway. Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day, and I thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, you know I'm just a handmaid, and you didn't call me to preach, but you did call me to do whatever was asked of me. So, Lord, bless these words, and let them be pleasing to you, and let them be a blessing to those that hear it. We ask in your name, amen. I'd like to talk just a few minutes on the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn your Bible to there. And it's about the gifts and the talents that the Lord gives us and has given down through the many, many years. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. And, you know, we couldn't have much of a world or a church, for that matter, if everybody done the same thing. You know, we need each other and in our own post that God puts us in. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now this kind of threw me a little bit, and it always has, the word of wisdom, and it says to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And from what I understand, the word of wisdom is knowing. You know, you know that God gives you the wisdom to know that. And spiritually and in the world we live in too, you know, that's wisdom. But the word of knowledge is by the same Spirit. But the knowledge comes a different way than wisdom. And he gives you wisdom. And wisdom, through your wisdom, you use that to gain more knowledge. And some people have a gift. To me, it's a gift that like to study and dig and get all these little things. David and Tammy are a perfect example of that. They use what they have at hand, the computers, to dig for all these things, you know, and these new things that we're learning. And that's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. And through that knowledge we gain wisdom with it. It's a two-for-one kind of thing. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Of course, faith, all gifts come with a measure of faith. We have to have faith to even believe in God, believe that he is. David, would you mind shutting those doors back there? That light is blinding me. To another, the gifts of healing. That is a powerful gift to me. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it. Healing is just a wonderful, powerful gift. And some have that through a great anointing in their hands. My mother had that gift at different times. And you could see the power of God in her hands because they trembled so. And it was a wonderful thing to watch. As anybody here, I know Nat has experienced healing of God. I know he has. And the one thing that I can remember that in my life that God healed me, it wasn't me he healed, it was my unborn child that he healed. You know, and she was mine and Dan's fourth child. And when we found out that we were going to have her, we were living up near Farmington, and I went to this doctor. He was a Seventh-day Adventist doctor. And he said, Miss Ketchum, you have Rh negative blood. And this was back in the 50s, you know, and they really didn't know much about Rh negative blood. But he said, you should have never had one child, but the one child, your first one. And then when he found out that she had a twin that died before it was born, you know, and then our second little girl died in 57, and she was blue like Danine was blue when she was born. And Danny was born with severe jaundice and a head full of red hair. He looked like a red-headed Chinaman, you know, he was so jaundiced. And all these things were caused from my blood. And so he said, this is your fourth pregnancy, and the blood test they run every month said this baby's going to be retarded or deformed, and possibly both, so you need to prepare yourself for that. And I worried so about it, you know, that in the fourth month I had a heart attack. I was 20 years old and I had a heart attack, but it was from worry, just from worry. That's all it was. And my mother told me, said, you know, God's going to take care of this. He is. So when it came time for her to be born, we lived in trailers, you know, we worked on construction, and Dan and Daddy moved my trailer into town, and Dan stayed with Dad to work, and Mother stayed with me. So the night before I was going in the hospital, I was having some problems, and the doctor said, we're going to put you in the hospital tomorrow and start this and get it over with. And down the street from where we lived, there was a little church. I think it was a little Holiness church, but I don't know, can't remember. But they were having revival, and we didn't have TV or nothing back then, you know. And so Mama said, let's go down there tonight and visit. And so we did. And when church was over, I told Mother, I said, I'm going to ask these two little preachers to pray for the baby. I was all right, I felt, but I want them to pray for my baby. And so I asked them, and they just prayed a little simple prayer, you know. They laid hands on me, and that was it. And the next morning, I went in the hospital, and the test still showed that, you know, something wasn't right. And I just reminded the Lord, you know, you said that you do whatever we ask if we ask in your name according to your will. And so all night, all day and all night we waited. And early the next morning, they took us to the delivery room, and they had everything set up in there to change her blood. And when she was born, she's the only one of all of our children that was just as pink and pretty as a little peach. They checked her blood, and her blood was fine. And the nurse was right angry, and she looked at the doctor, and she said, I thought you said this was an Rh baby. And he winked at me, and he said, it was yesterday. So, you know, that was the time that I knew God touched her before she was born and healed her. And I know he still does heal. Nat, perfect example of that. Okay, let's see. Healing. Let's move on down to the working of miracles. Now, there is some wonderful stories that go with that. You know, miracles happen, all kinds of miracles in our life every day. The fact that we're even living. The fact that we have this church is a miracle. It is. I remember the day, you know, we dedicated this ground, and what happened, don't you, Nat? It thundered and lightning and turned dark as night for 3 hours. And that was just God putting his approval on this place. But I've also had some things happen, you know. Y'all have heard me tell about the storm, I think, but I'll tell you again anyway. I don't think you can ever tell too much about what God does for you, do you? But one time before that, my mother and I, when we were still out in the camp, in the construction camp, we drove about 30 miles into Gallup one night to a church meeting. And we had to drive across what they call it back home, no man's land. It's just desert. And it's really not safe for a woman out there by herself, because you have several different Indian clans in that area, and each one of them have a witch doctor, and it's just not safe for women out there. Well, anyway, we drove to town, and on our way home, that old car of ours, an old Packard, started spitting and sputtering, and I don't remember if it was the water pump or the fuel pump, but one of them wasn't acting right. It was sick, and so I was terrified. that we'd be stuck out there, you know, no cell phones, no nothing back then. You know, this was back in old days, the 50s. Anyway, my mother took out her anointing oil, and I prayed that God would give me the faith she had. But she put her hands on the dash of that car and anointed that car with oil and prayed for it, and we drove it to Tennessee a year later. Still just like it was, and it never missed a sput, you know. It just drove on. So I know God, and I've heard Mom talk about when the twins and they were little, and that old washing machine they had. I know y'all remember the story she used to tell us, that she gathered her kids around her, and they prayed for that old washing machine, and it would run and wash the clothes. But those are miracles. People laugh about it, but they're miracles, you know. And when I was going to New Mexico with Susie and Darlene, when they were just small children, to get Danine, and we had drove all night, and it was raining, and I think we was right outside of Matador, Texas. It was on the panhandle, and I pulled in a station to get some gas about 1 o'clock in the morning, and that man said, lady, he said, you're not going out there on that prairie tonight, are you? He said, there's tornadoes everywhere, and I was afraid to stop and get a motel by myself. You know, I just never would do that. And so I asked him, I said, can I just pull over here to the side a little bit? And he said, sure. So I pulled over there and I reached up and got my Bible. I always carry it when I'm traveling. I carry it on the dash of my car. Because Mother always told us to put God's word between you and whatever was coming. And that's what I did. And I reached up there and got it and just held it to my heart and in my chest. And I said, Lord, you know, I've got to have an answer. I don't know what to do, and I don't want to get my babies hurt, but I don't know what to do. And I no more got the words out of my mouth. Unless y'all have ever seen an electric storm in Texas or New Mexico, you don't know what it's like, but it was like lightning went across the whole sky, and it just lit up like a light bulb. And I could see one big black cloud rolling east and one rolling west. And where I seen the highway, I could see the stars. And I just pulled on the highway. And I got to my mother and dad's about 9 or 10 o'clock the next morning, but I didn't hit a drop of rain all night. So I was here, the Lord. That was a miracle to me, that God moved so quickly and instantly. Sometimes we have to wait on our miracles. But those two happened in my life that were instant and right then, and I knew that it was God. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. All right, let's move on down here. After miracles is the word of prophecy. The word of prophecy is a tremendous gift, and really to me it's kind of a fearful one, because prophecy means you're foretelling something. God's telling you something that's going to take place. And in this day and time, I don't know many prophets, but anytime God reveals a truth to you, I guess that's it. That's a word of prophecy in a way too. But it's a powerful gift and a dangerous one if you use it wrong. You know, these people just say, well, the world's going to come to an end such and such a date. You know, they're liars, and you know they are, because God said no man knows. So, all right, and another gift is a discerning of spirits. And every Christian needs that gift. Everybody needs it. Because there's people that come into our lives, and when we first meet them, sometimes we think, well, you know, they're really nice. They're really nice. And they're really a help in the church, you know. Two that I can think of right on hand, and I won't call their names, but y'all can remember them too. The older ones can. And David has probably heard us talk about them at home. They came in just like a lamb, but before we knew it, one of them stood up here in the front of the church and wanted to vote on who we wanted for our pastor, whether we wanted to keep Mom or we wanted him. And he had brought a group of people with him. You remember? And, of course, our church just absolutely asked him to leave. And, of course, he did. But there's been two of them that's come to our church like that. But they come in meek and humble, and, you know, and I know you've met people like that. But you need to you have that gift of discernment. Not just about things like that, but a lot of things, business, just everyday things. You need that gift. Raising your children, you certainly need it, you know. Because, you know, they're kids, and they're going to tell you one thing, and it's really some other way. And, all right, let's go on to the next one. The next one is tongues. Now, I know that is one gift that has been abused and misused and mocked and made fun of and called unreal for a long, long time. But it is a real gift. It's a wonderful gift. But if it's spoken in church, it has to have an interpretation to be from God. It has to. Now, there is a speaking in tongues between you and God when you're praying just yourself. And that Holy Ghost begins to move and speak when you're praying, you know, off down by yourself or something. That is a heavenly language. And that Holy Ghost is praying for you. And you let it pray for you. But the gift of church, there's a message given, it has to be interpreted. And the only, I've seen that happen many, many times, but the one time that it was such a sweet way of doing it was my mother and my sister-in-law, Teresa, you know, she's Indian, my brother's wife. And they had come out here to see me. And Teresa and Eddie had not been married very long, and they had had a big argument before she came. And she just cried and worried about it, and I think she had talked to him on the phone, and they were still arguing. But anyway, one morning, Brenda, probably not many of you remember her, but she was Carolyn Doan's sister, and she lived down the street from me, and she called down to the house and wanted Mother and Teresa to come up there and have prayer with her. So they did. They went. Well, while they were there praying, the Holy Ghost moved on Brenda, and she spoke it in tongues, but nobody interpreted it. And Mother, you know, kind of, she didn't say anything, but when they stopped praying and they were sitting there visiting, Teresa started crying, and she hugged Brenda, and she said, "Thank you for what you did." And Brenda said, "What do you mean, Teresa?" And she said, you yielded to the Lord. And the message that you gave was in Navajo. And the Lord was telling me that everything was going to be all right with Eddie and at home. So, see, there was an interpretation. She just didn't say it, but she told it after it was over. And there'll always be one. And sometimes it's hard for that person to yield. You know, you think, well, Lord, is this really you? But if you just open your mouth, the Lord will feel it. He'll give you the interpretation of the message. And most usually it comes to the person that spoke the message in the first place. If we're faithful with what God, the talents that God gives us, there's a lot of talents that we have, you know, that are not one of these particular ones. But on down here in the 11th verse, it says, "But all these gifts work that one same spirit, dividing every man severally as he will." Some of us can just handle one or two. Some people can have all these gifts. And I believe that most Christians, if they live a long time, they're going to have all these gifts at one time or another, maybe not all at the same time. But, you know, we'll have them sooner or later, one at a time. We'll use them. "For as the body is one, and many hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. If the body is not, if the fool shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, therefore it is therefore not of the body. The whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And that's true. You know, God put us here, and it's just like we miss Jim. He's not here today. Because he's part of the body. He's the head of this body in the church. And but if he had worked all night and had a wonderful message and was standing here in the pulpit and none of us showed up, what good did it do? But you see, because it's our place, we're just as important as he is in the church. Because he needs us to deliver the message that God give him for us. We got to remember that. What he gets up here and says, God give to him for us. Somebody needs it, even if it's me and I'm the only one here that needs it. You know, it's still important. And there's other gifts that, you know, Peggy has a gift of giving, of making people feel special. And that's a special gift to have. It's a wonderful gift to have. And just like the gift of working all these contraptions around it, that's, I guess you could have to call that a combination of the wisdom and knowledge together. But they're still important. But it's just important that these two girls are sitting right here. And they have a gift, a wonderful gift. I hope they never lose it and never quit using it, because it's really a great blessing to me. But Jimmy would lose his if we were not here to hear him and to encourage him and tell him how we enjoy his messages. Now, this is not much of a message, but I was just sitting there reading it, and I just thought, Lord, if we don't stand at our post of duty, then somebody else is going to suffer, you know? I try to think, well, who's going to suffer if I'm not there? But I do, you know, when I'm sick and I cannot be here. It just worries me. It worries me. And it makes me sad. It really does. Because I think of this beautiful place we have. And people stay home, and my family is it breaks my heart. It really does. But I know. I taught them all I knew, and I know your parents did too. My mother taught me all she knew. So if I miss heaven, whose fault is that? It's not hers. It's mine. But my children can't say it's my fault, because I taught them all I knew to tell them. But all they have to do is read this, and they'll find a way to get there, won't they? I want to read you one more thing. And I don't know if Nat and Peggy would remember it or not. I know David was just a kid, so I know he wouldn't. But Darlene's been dead 10 years now. But when she was 12 years old, she memorized this poem. It's a story. And she stood up here and recited it. Do you remember the touch of the master's hand? Has anyone ever heard this story before? Well, it's really sweet. Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer felt that it was hardly worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. It sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it, too. Who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more, and we'll be through. $1, give me $1, who'll make it two? Only $2, who'll make it three? $3 twice, and that's a good price. Who's got a bid for me? Raise up your hand and don't wait any longer. The auction's about to end. Who's got four, just $1 more to bid on this old violin? Well, the air was hot and the people stood round. As the sun was setting low, from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He wiped the dust from the old violin. Then he tightened up the strings. Then he played out a melody pure and sweet as the angel sings. When the music stopped and the auctioneer, with a voice that was soft and low, said, "What am I bid on this old violin?" Then he held it up with a bow. Then he cried out, "One, give me 1,000. Who'll make it two? Only 2,000? Who'll make it three? 3,000 twice, and that's a good price. Who's got a bid for me?" And the people cried out, "What made the change? We don't understand." The auctioneer stopped, and he said with a smile, "It's just the touch of the master's hand." You know, many a man with his life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin, he's auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. Then the master comes, and the foolish crowd, they don't understand the worth of a soul and the change that brought just the touch of the master's hand. That's all I have.